hey, I desire you. Man, that's a big difference. When we come into the presence of God, He wants to take our hearts and our minds. He is the pearl of great price, church. There's a treasure in Christ that is beyond measure. He is so beautiful. We're going to sing the song again just now, but let's just meditate on that. We come into His place and we say, Lord, I desire you. Can you say that with me this morning? Lord, I desire you. I love you for who you are, not necessarily for what I get from you. But you are so beautiful. Paul the Apostle said this. There was a learned man. He had so much going for him. And he says, if anyone can boast in the flesh, I can. I was a Pharisee. I knew all things. But he got to the place where he saw Christ. And he says, you know, all that knowledge, all my skill, all that I had, I count as loss so that I may gain Christ, so that I might know Him, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. He moved from a place of I need to a place of I desire you, Lord. David was in that place. He says, Lord, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs for you. We desire you, Lord. We desire you, Lord. What are you seeking for this morning? Is a question we want to ask throughout the preaching. What are you seeking this morning? That when you find it, you will give up absolutely everything that you might possess that thing. What is your desire this morning? And we're going to sing a little bit more, but can I ask the deacons at this time, please, can you come forward? We're going to receive the tithes and offerings. That when you find it, you will give up absolutely everything. All your time, your energy, your commitment, your passion. That you might lay hold of that. For Paul, it was Jesus Christ. For us this morning, it's Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to receive the tithes and offerings. That Lord, you are so beautiful to us. In this church, Lord God, in our hearts, Lord God, we say we desire you with everything that is within us, Lord. You have shown us a beauty. You have shown us a care. You have shown us so much of the love of God. We love you. We adore you. We want to offer up our whole hearts, holding nothing back. Church, there's nothing holding us back. And when we sing the song again, I want us to sing with a renewed passion for Christ. The Bible says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Let me return to my first love. Lord, we desire you. Amen. If we can be led in that song again. Amen. It was awesome. Nice rocky feel to that. That's a great God. It's great to praise and worship the Lord. To come and preach. We've got some new members that we are going to be praying in this morning. It's an exciting time in the life of the church when you add new members to your congregation. And I would like those guys that are being prayed in, if you can come forward. That is Raymond, Lalita, Wesley, and Janet. If you guys can come up. I know I think Janet is working this morning. And so she's not, we'll have to pray her in a little bit later. But Raymond, Lalita, and Wesley. And then Tobias and Dorothy, can you guys come forward, please? Tobias and Dorothy. Lorianne, Drea. Wonderful. Come, look at this. Beautiful, beautiful people. Precious. And then Andrew, Samantha, Dylan, and Layla. Lockharts, the Lockharts. Please, just go and grab them quickly there. And Steph Zanke. Amen. That's it, eh? Come stand with me, yeah. Come stand with me. Isn't that beautiful? We're just waiting then for Samantha and that. But have a look at these people. Isn't that, they've gone through a process with us. It's a beautiful thing. You know, I like bonsai trees. I'll be honest, I like them. But there's something in a picture of a bonsai tree that is quite significant, and I want to share a little about that. The bonsai tree is the art of making something beautiful, but when it is self-contained. Every bonsai tree is self-contained in a little container. And because of that reason, by nature of it being planted only in a little pot, it is small. It is underdeveloped. It might be beautiful to look at, but the roots cannot go very deep. You agree with me? They cannot go very deep. It might be beautiful, but the nourishment that comes to a bonsai tree, I've tried to keep some bonsais, and for me, either I overwater it or whatever the case may be, but they don't last very long. The leaves turn yellow and things like that. Now, in the life of a church, sometimes many of us, we don't want to be planted into a place. Some of us are scared to be, we want to be self-contained. So we want to come into a place, but I like being amongst you. It looks great, but I'm happy here in my own little container. And it's like the Spirit of the Lord is saying, as long as we are in our own little containers, our roots are not going to grow deep. I mean, it's nice to have a small tree, but when you look at that magnificence of an oak tree that towers above everything, I mean, it's beautiful, it's solid, it is stable. And that for us, church membership in this church, we take that seriously. You know, and these people have decided to come to this place and to say, unwrap me from my boundaries. Unwrap me from my container. I want to come out of my self-contained little element, and I want to be planted in this field. It's a beautiful thing, and I thank you that God has said that to you. You know, God has said to you, and your desire is that you want to be planted here with us. And I want to encourage you out of Psalm 1. This is what it says for a man that is planted. All right? Psalm 1, verse 3, it says, and also for the ladies. All right. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. When you plant yourself in this morning, that's what we are trusting. As we plant you within this place, the Spirit of God come upon you. He's going to make your roots go deep. And because of that, your leaves will not wither. Evergreen trees. Not ones that lose their leaves and they come back and lose their leaves. They come back in and out, in and out. Evergreen trees. Your leaves will not wither. Whatever you do, this is like the Lord speaking. Whatever you do will prosper. And we pray that you will prosper in this place. We pray that your minds and your hearts and your spirits would so prosper in this place. We have committed ourselves to you and you are committing yourselves to us. But we commit this to you. We will support you. We will make sure that the Spirit of God comes upon you, waters you, so that you may bear fruit in good season, so that you may have ample for yourselves and for the rest of the congregation. The blessing of Abraham is this: I will bless you so that you will become a blessing to others. And as we lay, I want to call the leaders to come up, Brad, please. Sharissa, as we lay our hands upon you, Hilton, Reza, Nikki, as we lay our hands on you, we are going to impart a blessing, the Abrahamic blessing, the blessing of Christ, so that whatever you do will prosper, so that you will have abundance. And in that abundance, you will share amongst us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you right now, Lord God, as we begin to lay our hands upon these people, that, Lord God, that you would so plant them in this place. That, Father God, as they are planted, Lord God, their roots would go down deep. That nothing, when the storms of life and the winds come and blow, Lord God, they will stand strong, Lord God, in the support, in the soil that you have created right here amongst us, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that their leaves, Lord God, will be evergreen. That they will not wither. That they will not fade away. That, Father, that whatever they do, whatever they set their minds to do, will prosper. We thank you, Lord God, that their minds prosper in the revelation of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for giving us these precious people. And we commit to them right now, Lord God, that we would love them as you have loved us. We will love you as Christ has loved us. So, Father, we set them apart. We thank you for them. Precious souls, Lord. We thank you for planting them within this field in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Where's the sound guy? Steve, champion. Hello? Can you hear me? Seems falling apart. Okay. Good morning, everybody. I hope you can pay attention to me today. I sound like Barry White. Well, Barry White with the flu. But I'm still going to give it everything I got. So I'm trusting that if my voice disappears, that you'll still hear what I'm saying. But if God just miraculously heals it, you'll all be listening then. But let's trust God for amazing things this morning. I want to preach the word to you this morning. I love Jesus. I love his word. And he's got some wonderful things to teach us. The parables is something that Jesus used to teach his disciples everything. There's a scripture that says he didn't say anything to his disciples without bringing a parable. And so we want to be disciples of Jesus. We've decided to follow Jesus. And as we follow Jesus, we want to learn what he has to say to us. And the parables are interesting. They're just fictitious stories that Jesus made up. So they're not real. They're not true in any way. But there's truth within them. And so the truth within them is the heavenly truth. There's things that we can apply to our lives from the parables that Jesus gives us. And that can make all the difference to us. And in these parables, we learn about him. We learn about ourselves. And we learn about what it is that we need to be doing in the earth. Who'd like to know what the purposes and plans are for their lives? Who'd like to know what destiny is upon your life? I think many people search and seek after those things in many different ways. But I tell you, Jesus wants to tell you why he made you and what he's put you on this planet for. So let's pay attention this morning. Are we good? Maybe turn my mic up. For some strange reason, I feel like I need to shout. But that's just the passion, eh? Can you hear me? Is it good? Is it clear? If you feel like you want to cough for me, you can. You know, you'd be like, anyway. Lord God, I want to pray, Father, for your grace upon us here this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us. Thank you so much that you're speaking to us. Thank you, God, that you are real and true. And Lord, a decision is quite simply that, a decision. I pray that we would make those decisions in our hearts today that we need to. I pray, God, that they would be for you and for your plans and for your purposes and for your kingdom. Let this day be, mark this day, the last day of May 2015. Could be a day of opportunity that changes the rest of your entire life. And Jesus, you're wanting us. Every time you speak to us, you're speaking life and healing and light. I pray your light would shine in darkness today. I pray, Father God, for your goodness to be revealed. You're an amazing Savior. Why would I want to be saved by you? Why would I want to find you beautiful? Why would I want to worship you and sing to you? Why would I want to follow you? God, I pray that it would be very clear today why. You're so loving. You're so good. I pray that truth would come by the power of the Holy Spirit today and break through every barrier in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. So the parable we're looking at this morning is called the parable of the hidden treasure. I get excited about hidden treasure, don't you? Hidden treasure is cool. It's in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44. And it's one verse, but it's a phenomenal verse. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys the field. That's the story. So you can either listen to that and walk away and say, well, nice story. Thank you. I don't understand a single thing about it. Very nice. All this talk of treasures, all this talk of joy. A guy finding it, hiding it, selling everything he has and going and getting it. What's the point? Well, I hope we're going to get to some point today. But there's a reason why Jesus shares parables, because he's hiding certain things. He wants to put his treasures exactly like this. The treasure within the parable is exactly that. It's hidden. You've got to go and find it. You've got to dig for it. And when you find it, it's going to change your whole life to the point where you're willing to sell everything for the sake of that thing. There's treasure in this message today that could change your life forever. There's treasure in this message today that could absolutely cause you to be so different, but so full of joy. Who wants joy? Amen. The pursuit of happiness and pleasure. Isn't that what every single one of us are after? You're a fool if you're not after pleasure and happiness. Hello? I mean, that's God said, he's promised us that. When he created creation, he made it pleasurable. He made it good. He made it a happy place. But unfortunately, there's some things that have come along the way to destroy it a little bit and to break it down. And guess what? You and I are the ones that have broken it down a lot. But Jesus wants us to come to that happy place, to that pleasurable place. God created pleasure. God created happiness. It's a wonderful thing when you've got it in your marriage. It's a wonderful thing when you've got it in your work. It's a wonderful thing when you've got it in life. But God wants to give it to you. And that's the beautiful thing about God. He wants you to be happy. And so we're not thinking about some kind of, what's the word, just a pursuit of your own happiness. Now, what is that word? Lane, you're very good with words. Hedonism. Thanks, Brew. I knew you'd have it. There's a hedonism that is actually a good kind of hedonism. If you're going to be a hedonist, then go for the best kind of happiness you can find. Amen? If you're going to be a hedonist and you're going to go search for pleasure, and you're going to go search for whatever makes you happy, then why settle for the thing that is just underneath the best thing? Hello? If you're really going to be a hedonist and you're really going to look for pleasure and happiness, then why settle for, if there's something out there that's extremely amazing, that will give you ultimate pleasure and ultimate happiness, why go for something second rate? Because then you're not really a hedonist. Then you're a kind of person who thinks less of himself and only wants second best and second rate. Hello? Who wants a second rate marriage? Who wants a second rate job? Who wants a second rate life? Who wants to live their entire life and come to their 75 years or whatever it is that God blesses you with and stand there and say, it was all second rate and I loved every minute of it? No. You want to be able to say, there was a pursuit in my heart that was for the best and I got it. Who'd like to say that at the end of their lives? I don't know. I heard the story, and I mentioned a few weeks ago, about this guy that was on his deathbed, a Christian man, believer in Jesus. And I asked him, I said, gee, you're about to die. How do you feel? And he said this. He says, I cannot wait. It feels like there's a present under the Christmas tree, and I can't wait to open it. Can you come to the end of your life with that kind of thing in your heart? You can have it if there's a pleasure and there's a happiness that is way beyond all the second-rate stuff we have in this earth. The pleasure and the happiness that God offers us, folk, is always going to be the best. If you're going to be a hedonist, then go for what God will give you. God will give you the right way to do everything. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If you want His way, you've got to listen to His truths, and you'll have His life. And that life is so amazing that it actually makes everything else pale in comparison. All the stuff you were chasing after that you thought, the money, the fame, the sex, the whatever, 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 it's just second rate. It's just created stuff. There's a creator of the best stuff. And that creator is void of all the tarnishing that's in the second rate stuff. That God is beautiful and glorious and holy and bright and awesome. I want Him more than anything else. I don't know about you. I know how many things creep into my heart. They pull my distraction from Him. But I know the moments when I've said, God, I'm all yours, and I see Him for who He is. And I tell you, my life has changed. I went on to the Botanical Gardens. I go every Thursday, spend the whole morning and just pray and prepare and read. And it was a little bit chilly, and I was looking for a spot in the sun. And as I was walking, I was just talking to Jesus. I said, Lord, where are we going to sit today? And I'm walking, 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 and I see this bench, and the sun is shining on it. It's unbelievable. Just this, like, glory, like this light shining on this bench. I thought, yes, that's the spot. And as I started to walk towards it, I started to weep. It just something overcame me. And I felt like it was Jesus just saying, come and sit with me. Come over here. There's nothing more beautiful than when your God, your Father, your Maker, doesn't see anything in you, but just welcomes you to come and sit with Him. Isn't that a great place to be? I tell you, that gives me pleasure. That gives me happiness. That gives me joy. And I'm willing to sell everything I have for that. And so let's look into that wonderful parable this morning. Whose treasure is it anyway? In ancient Palestine, it was often the practice of landowners, this is before Christ, many, many years before Christ, that guys would just tweak that back a bit there, please, Tyrone. They would, whatever treasure they had, whatever they had acquired in their life, they'd store it up in these jars or bowls. They put all these treasures in these jars, in these things, and they'd hide them in the fields. Because there would be like an impending invasion from another kingdom. So the Babylonians or everybody seemed to want a piece of Jerusalem. And throughout all of history, everybody's been fighting for Jerusalem and they're still fighting for it today. Why? Have you ever wondered about that? Because God's in the mix, isn't it? And God said there's something blessed about that place. And that's why everybody's fighting for it. And so people used to take all their treasures and put it in a jar and hide it in a field somewhere. And when the invasion took place and people were exiled, they had hoped that when they were finally set free from being in exile in different nations, they'd be able to come back to their treasures and find them and be able to continue with life. And so, unfortunately, many, many people died in exile. Many generations lived on in exile. So they were never able to come back to the treasures that are hidden. And they didn't tell anybody that there's a treasure. They didn't leave a kind of treasure map or something for somebody to go find. Maybe some did. But so this man is working in a field, and a person who's working in a field, probably an everyday worker, just a normal guy, you know, like all these guys that found the gold and the diamonds in Johannesburg and Cullinan and all these glorious stories that we hear of these people that find something and they become world famous. And this person is working the field, and comes across this treasure and thinks, my goodness, look at that. And so he's not allowed to actually have the treasure. Because in rabbinical law, and I think even in our law today, if you find gold somewhere, it belongs to whoever owns the field. It belongs to whoever owns the land. So you don't have a claim on it. It's the owner of the land that has a claim on it. So this guy didn't want to steal it. I thought, I'm going to go do the right thing. I'm going to leave it hidden. Nobody knew it was there. And I'm going to go sell everything I've got. And I'm going to go buy that land. And then the legality of owning the land meant that he'd have the treasure. And when he had that treasure, this person obviously had way more than they'd ever had from before selling everything. So it's an incredible little story. I did a little Google search on the internet, the greatest treasure ever found. And I came across this $500 million loot or treasure, whatever, that was inside a ship. And listen to the story. It's called the Black Swan Project. The biggest shipwreck with the greatest amount of treasure would, of course, mean the greatest struggle to lay claim to the said treasure. After discovery and excavation in 2007 by the Odyssey Marine Exploration, these guys are all over the shipwrecks, they uncovered about 17 tons of coins from the Gibraltar to an undisclosed address in the USA. I like that. Undisclosed address in the USA. They cover it up. However, once word got out that the ship's discovery, its nationality came under, that the ship was discovered, the nationality came under debate. And the ship was found floundering in uncertain territory, a location where colonial era ships were known to frequent. The ship's age and size were also very vague. Due to these uncertainties, very little were released about the shipwreck. Being that this was the largest treasure haul ever discovered in the world, meant this uncertainty needed to be sorted out right and quickly. Experts were called in and could only return statements of astonishment, saying the find was unprecedented and without comparison. Finally, the Spanish government filed its claim against the cargo and stated they believed the ship to be the Nuestra Senora de la Mercedes. What does that mean, Steph? Which had been sunk by the British in 1804. In 2008, the U.S. federal court stepped in and ordered the Odyssey to disclose all its findings, the location of the wreck, and any artifacts and treasures that were uncovered. The information the Odyssey provided ruled out the Nuestra de la Mercedes. After 5 years of litigation, the courts finally made a ruling, 5 years, in favor of Spain, and the treasure had to be flown back. But don't worry about the Odyssey. They lay claim to almost every other shipwreck that's in the sea to date. I mean, they just got these big ships with these things that scour the seabeds for things, and they found millions and millions and millions of dollars probably billions of dollars of treasure. And so there's the greatest treasure this world is, our current day has ever found, $500 million of gold in this thing. Folk, something funny happens to you when you see gold. I've loved watching that series, Gold Rush. But they say the first time as a prospector that you find gold in the pan, the gold rush is not so much everybody coming to find the gold. It's what goes on inside your heart. there's like this rush of blood from the top of your head down to your feet, and you just realize that if this is everything you've ever wanted, that little speck of gold dust right there, and you're willing to do anything and everything to have as much of it as you can. And so once you see that little glint catches your eye, you're stuck. You're sold for life. Because now the possibility of there being another little speck like that in the ground starts to haunt you. And you've tasted a little bit. You've pulled the what is it thing called? I don't know. Okay, John. You pull the one-arm bandit and the stuff comes out. You think, oh my goodness, I wonder how much more money's in that machine. And the thing starts to create a lust in you and a greed in you and a desire for all the things that are going to be good for you. Maybe it's going to solve your problems. And then you start to stick the coins in there, whatever it is. But this kind of gold rush would mean that you would find something of extreme wealth and you will do whatever you can to get it. You just read about some of these crazy guys that have ripped off casinos. You know, they know the money's there. And they do whatever they can to trick the cards and all these kind of things. You'll give up anything and everything and sell what you have just to own it. There's no price too big. It's almost priceless when people start to chase after that. And it says, and you're willing to change your whole world. You know, those guys in Alaska, they leave home for the whole summer, I think it is. They change their whole world. They change their whole lifestyle. They change everything just to have that gold. And so for years, months of the year, they're just out in the freezing cold trying to get it. And then when you finally find it, there's this happiness. But it doesn't last very long, eh? Well, there's a greater treasure hunt that's happened in history. And I think we would need to consider Jesus here. And when you come across Jesus, you come across a man who's full of joy. When you read the scriptures, you don't find somebody who's frustrated. You don't find somebody who's unhappy all the time. You find Jesus bringing life. You find Jesus laughing. I think it's that story of Matthew. If you ever want to watch the story of Jesus, watch the one of that Bruce Marciano and talking about Matthew. And he just felt, when he was making that movie, he felt he wanted to show Jesus as the laughing Savior. And he's telling jokes and he's splashing water at the kids and he's kind of chuckling and shoulder punching his friends and all this kind of thing. I think that's what Jesus would have been like. He would have been the coolest guy to hang with. He would have just made you feel so good. You wouldn't walk with Jesus feeling so terrible about yourself. You would have walked with Jesus feeling so good about yourself. That's why people wanted to follow him. He could do amazing things. The miracles that he did just astounded people. I think there was fear and trepidation when he calmed the storms and he cast demons out of people. But I mean, he made people feel good. He brought liberty and laughter and joy. But a man of many secrets. And it was almost as if he's hiding something, yet willing to reveal everything. And a man of power, but yet humble. You know, when people come into any kind of power today, there's a tendency to think that you've achieved that by your own cleverness or wisdom or strength. And Jesus is extremely humble in everything that he does. And then we also hear him say that he's the God-man. That he's not just a man, but that he says himself that I am God. And so that's a crazy statement to make, unless it's true. If it's true, we'd want to know, is there a treasure inside him? And then we find this man willing to die and lay down his life at age 33 for mankind, for a cause far greater than himself. He must have lived with some kind of treasure in his heart. Hello? He must have lived with something that was like that gold dust. He must have seen something that had caused a desire within him to do everything that he did. And you know what that desire was? It was you and me. When Jesus sees you, he sees a speck of gold dust. But he sees the endless possibilities of it, of glory that God intended you to have. He finds us. He comes to us. You know, what makes a man like that, God, come from heaven and leave the palaces of glory and the angels worshiping and adoring? What makes somebody come to this place, to Joburg, you know, wherever it is? You know, God created every single one of us to be good. It says that when God made creation, he made it good. He made it very good. He made it beautiful. He made it gold-like and diamond-like. And all those precious jewels that we like to see. When you're walking past the Arthur Kaplan or whatever, you do look. You do imagine, wow, imagine how nice it would be. But God made us to shine. God made us to be incredibly beautiful. But sin came in and tarnished. And when Adam said, I don't want you, God, that's effectively what he said. He said, I want to handle everything myself. That's the day the shine started to come off and the tarnish started to set in. And every man has fallen short of the glory of God. You and I, every one of us here know that we fall short of the gold intention that God had for us. There's a gold standard that he has for us, but we've all fallen short of that. But God loves the gold so much that he doesn't want to see it hidden and covered up by the sin of the world. He doesn't want it to be in the dirt of the world. From dust to dust, yes, he created us there, but he made us to be beautiful, and he made us to be glorious, and he made us to shine. He made you to be way more than you think of yourself. And so Jesus comes to seek out the treasure, and he finds the treasure. And I don't know about you, but Jesus found me. I wasn't looking for him. I might have been interested, but maybe not so much when I saw that there were certain things involved. And there's some stuff that comes with Jesus that I didn't quite like. So I thought, no, I'm not interested in that. But the more I realized this, I was chasing and seeking after something, whether it was my BCom law degree at the time, or I wanted to be a pilot, or whatever it is, all these highfalutin things that I was dreaming about. I wanted to be this, wanted to be that. Wanted people to like me. I think I've still got a little bit of that. But when I realized that Jesus was searching after me, that changed everything. He came after me. He gave me a dream that night. I was walking towards a light. And in that dream, I was weeping out of joy. And I looked behind me and throngs of people were walking with me towards this incredible light. I think, wow, God. And the next day, Jesus took a hold of my heart. It was in a meeting here in May, 7th of May 2000. And I realized that I couldn't do without Jesus. He came into my heart and cleansed me and loved me. And I tell you, over that week, I wept and I wept and I wept because everything that I'd been going after was absolutely destroyed in comparison to the treasure that I'd found in Jesus. And when my friends started to ask me if I still want to come out with them and snort cocaine, I thought, that used to be a cool idea. But then I realized there's something better. And Jesus delivered me of that stuff in a week. And I tell you, there's a treasure. What makes you willing to give up your friends, give up your life, give up your career, give up all kinds of things? It's when you see a treasure that's more beautiful than anything else and gives you joy, more precious than any joy you could ever imagine. And so God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, when Adam sinned, he basically gave over the rights of the field to the devil. The devil was the one who tempted Adam, and if Adam was going to follow the devil, Adam just about had the whole right and authority of all the earth. Because God said to Adam, you take dominion. You be in charge. You bear fruit. You carry this on. So Adam had within himself the authority to handle creation. And on the day that he said, I reject you, God, but I choose the devil's way. It was the day that he gave all that authority over to the devil. It was the day when the title deeds were signed into the devil's name. And that's where people have become servants of the devil. That's where wars. I was just watching, I don't know why the TV was on this World War II stuff on National Geographic last night. And I was looking at this and I thought, I can't believe that the whole world was in a war. That it was Japan and America and Germany and France and Italy and Russia and the whole world for 6 solid years was in a war. Like what were they after? Some kind of treasure. It's really, that's what happens when things are under the control of the devil. The devil doesn't want to bring life. The devil wants to bring death and pain and hurt. And so Jesus said, no, I'm not, that's not right. And so Jesus comes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, not tarnish, but have everlasting life. And listen to this. In Ephesians 5, verse 25 to 27, it says, and Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her with the washing of water and the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And so when Jesus comes and he dies, he pays a ransom for the gold. And in 1 Peter 1 verse 18 to 19 it says this, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways that you inherited from your forefathers, all the way to Adam, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like a lamb without blemish or spot. So Jesus, by his blood, comes to wash. He dies on a cross so that you can be forgiven of all your sin. He dies. He's punished over there. He's absolutely tarnished on that cross. So that what's in us can be washed and can be cleansed and can be made whole. That's precious, folk. Has anybody ever died for you? Has anybody ever died for you to have eternal life? That's what Jesus did. He saw the treasure in us. And he came for us. You know what the song of heaven in Revelation 5 is? It says they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation, and made them a kingdom of priests to our God, and they shall reign again on the earth. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus wants to restore everything. And he starts with your heart. And once he's got your heart, and once you see him as treasure, there's a joy that you just want to take everything along with you. And when he's got a grip of your heart, it's man, he can change that heart. He changes your partner. He changes your children. He changes your home, your neighbors, nations, the world. His mandate is to save the whole world. And Jesus is going to restore this thing to gold. You know, it says this in heaven. It says the streets are made of gold. Did you know that heaven's not some place in the sky? Hello? Heaven is here, on earth, when God has restored it all. You with me? We all think we're going to go to some other place and God's going to like an atom bomb this whole place. He's going to wash it, he's going to cleanse it, but he's going to restore it, and he's probably going to make it a bit bigger than it is so that we can fit every generation and every nation that wants to worship him. But this world will be restored. And it says the streets will be paved with gold. That's God restoring dignity and glory and beauty to everything. And it's because he died at the cross. It's because he started something that's the antidote to this world's pain. Folk, when Jesus saw you as the treasure, he came after you and was willing to sell everything. He was willing to ransom his own blood, so that you could be purchased for him. And in his joy, he did it. The scripture says this, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He saw the cross. He didn't see what was going to come to him with the crown of thorns and the nails and the cat of nine tails smacking him 39 times and ripping the flesh out of his body. He didn't see that. He saw you and me. And for the joy set before him, he endured the cross so that he could have us. He saw a treasure. It was too beautiful. He was willing to give up everything to have you. Do you know how much Jesus loves you? I don't think you know. If somebody had to actually do that for you, imagine walking away from it. Imagine saying, thanks, China, and going and searching for something else to save you. Hello? What an incredible offer. What an incredible opportunity. And you have one lifetime to make that decision that is for me. Because if that's not for you, then there's nothing else that'll do what that does. If you're going to put your faith in Jesus, if you're going to say, I've decided to follow you, the cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back. No turning back. He gave everything for me, and I'm holding nothing back to give everything for him. We sing it this morning, folks. They're not just songs. We're singing the parables. We're singing what we believe about Jesus. We're worshiping. Are we doing lip service to God? Or are we actually believing the things that we're saying and praying? And so the next question is this. What would you do? And what would you sell? And what would you give up for the treasure of salvation and the treasure of his kingdom? And can you see the treasure that's before you today? Can you see the treasure that's here in this church? We look around and we see people that are hurt by troubles and depression and debt and divorce and every other D that gets you down. But folk, when you look around and think this, Jesus sees treasure. He sees treasure. When I look at you, I see destiny on your lives. When I look at you, I see God being glorified through every single one of you. When I look at you, I see gifts and talents
and abilities and service and things that are so beautiful, Christ-like actions. I see joy and peace and love and goodness and kindness flowing from you like you've never known. I could see it in you. That's why I want to give up my life and sell everything that I have so that I can have this field. You know, when you love something more than anything, and you'll do whatever it takes to get it, you don't seem to worry about what it comes with. Hello? When I saw Sharissa, when she walked into that prayer meeting that day, I was leading a prayer meeting in Discovery. When she walked into the doors, I knew that that was my wife. And I was willing to do whatever it took to get her. Eventually, I promise you. Initially, I said, God, you're going to do it. I don't know what to do. But I was willing to give up a whole lot. I was willing to give up every other woman on the face of the planet for her. Hello? And I didn't care what I was going to get with her. I didn't care that she'd been through troubles in her life. I didn't care that she had all kinds of things. And you know what? Along the way, you start to find out 10 years down the line, 10 years married, and you start to think, gee, I don't know about this thing, or I don't know about that thing. Well, I didn't quite see that, but you know what? I get the field because I love the treasure. I don't give up on the field because I only want the treasure. I don't go look for another Sharissa because I don't like some of the things that are in the field. Hello? I know what Sharissa got when she got me. She thought she was getting treasure. So, yes, she got some great treasure. No ways. I know. No. I can be grumpy, moody, this and that, and I got all my junk that I bring along, and she was happy to have me. And she was happy to commit to me and make those vows that I don't care what happens to you. I don't know. I don't care what happens in the field, but I got you. I got the treasure. Isn't that amazing? When we adopted Ethan, when we adopted Bethany, there's a whole lot of things that come with adopting cross-culturally. Hello? And there's all kinds of things you face every single day. But you know what? There's a treasure, man. There's an absolute treasure in the beauty of these children. I don't care what I have to face. I'm willing to sell everything for the sake of the treasure that's there. Now, how about Jesus? Because we can say we love Jesus, but we don't want the church. We can say we love Jesus, but that pastor did this. And that person did that. And this thing, I don't know, but hey, fuck. If you want Jesus, you get the field as well. And Jesus is fixing the field. He loves the field. He's attending to the field. There's a treasure in it. You can put up with stuff. I can put up with going to Rwanda or going to Bukavu, Eastern Congo, and standing and hoping that there's hot water and it's brown cold water that comes out the tap. But you know what? There's a treasure. I'm going to go preach the gospel to people who don't know Him. There's a treasure. So there's some pains and some trials and some stuff you've got to go through. Amen. What has been robbing you of the treasure? If you've been battling to put up with the stuff in the field, fuck, I tell you, if you find that joy in that treasure, you won't mind whatever you've got to put up with. You love that thing more than anything else. Maybe you want Jesus, but you don't want Him to touch your finances. Because listen to this. When Jesus saves you, maybe you want Jesus, but you don't want Him to touch your relationships. Maybe you don't want him to touch the way you do stuff. I tell you, when Jesus comes for you, Jesus sees a treasure in you, but Jesus knows what's in you. Jesus was willing to touch the leper. Lepers were disgusting. If you touched them, you've got their stuff. They're unclean, they're dirty. I mean, you were even declared unclean. You weren't allowed, you had to go to the temple and wash yourself. And you weren't allowed to go near another person for a day. Let alone maybe get leprosy yourself. It was contagious. So you don't want to touch it. But Jesus reaches out and touches the leper because the leper doesn't give his junk to Jesus. Jesus gives his glory to the leper and the leper's healed. And Jesus is not scared of your life and Jesus is not scared of your messed up situation. And Jesus is not scared of how it's going to work out because Jesus loves you enough that He would come and reach out and grab the gold that's in you. And He can put up with everything else that's in your life because He loves you. And for the joy, He's willing to sell everything to have you and the field that you come with. Hello? He loves you enough. So fuck, don't be afraid if Jesus starts to say, I want you to do this. I want you to change that. I want you to do this from now. I want you to give into this. I want you to give up that. Because actually, He wants you to have the treasure. And if you see it, you'll be willing to obey Him. And you'll be willing to follow Him. That's my challenge to you this morning, folk. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Let's not lay up for ourselves treasures here on earth where rust and moth and thief can come and steal. But let's lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. That means use everything you've got so that people can come into that kingdom and come to know Him. Is that good? This is an opportunity, folk. An opportunity of a lifetime. Last little story. Again, I was working at Discovery, and I got to my desk after holiday one day, and on my desk was this envelope, and the envelope, opened it up, and it was share options that Discovery had given me. And they said there was 1,400 shares that I needed to buy at 6.90 a share. Would it be 9,600 rand for me to buy this? And the share option date was the day before I got back to work. I missed the opportunity. But I thought about it. I said, where would I have got 9,600 rand at that point? It was probably in 2002. And other guys were seeing the opportunity, and they bought those shares. And when Discovery listed, they listed at 12.90. So the shares were almost double already within a week. Today, those shares are 122 rand a share. And if I'd had those, it would have had 170,000 rand for my 9,600 rand back then. But the lesson is this. There's an opportunity right here, right now. It is far greater than any Discovery share will ever take. This is a greater discovery than you'll ever know. Jesus Christ is a treasure. And His kingdom is hidden in a field. And you can either see the little glint of gold and walk away from it, or in your joy, realize what it is that you're finding, Racha. And if you do have that joy come upon your heart, sell everything you have, change everything you have to, and go for it with everything you've got. There's no other way to live. And there's no other way to be happy. Can you please stand with me while we pray? Lord Jesus, great treasure of heaven, every angel worships You. And so do we. You're beautiful, God. You're wonderful in every way. And You are here right now. You're the treasure we long for. Lord Jesus, I want to ask You for every single person in this place. That You, Lord God, by Your Holy Spirit, would come and touch people's hearts here. Lord, where Your presence is, there's a scripture that says, in Your presence is fullness of joy. Lord, when You're around, there's joy. And I know no greater joy than the joy of my salvation. I know no greater joy. I woke up that morning with a smile on my face after I'd given my heart to Jesus. Lord Jesus, today, I pray for a joy that is beyond what anything this earth can offer. No wisdom on the planet will give You this joy. No studying and seeking and finding will give You this joy. No person, as much as You love them and as much as they love You, will give You this joy. Because nobody has come from heaven to die for us like You have, Jesus. And the joy is this, that You are alive, O God. And You're not just dead. And You are here. And You're calling us, O Lord. And You're calling people to Yourself. You're calling some people yet to leadership in the church. You're calling some people to things that are far greater. But you've maybe been scared of. You've maybe been afraid. And you don't know whether that's going to give you joy. But I tell you, the minute you put your hands on it, the minute you open your heart to it, you will know a joy. It is far greater than anything you can imagine. No gold, no silver, no precious stones on the face of this planet could ever give you what faith in Jesus gives you. And Lord, I pray that you would fan into flame the fire that causes us to realize the opportunity that's before us. The investment is eternal. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come right now. If there's anybody that's been hiding sin in their heart, that's not a treasure to hide. If you're hiding sin in your heart, the Holy Spirit wants to come and uncover that thing right now and forgive you. And not just forgive you, but remove it. Because He wants you and He wants all of you. Holy Spirit, I pray, Lord God, you just bring repentance and grant repentance to people that it's quite simply this, that you choose to say, yes, I agree, that thing's wrong. And I don't want it. And I agree, you are right, God, and I want you. And the decision, the opportunity today is this. Don't walk out of this place without saying, God, thank you for seeing me as a treasure. Forgive me of the stuff that's not treasure. And thank you that you are giving me yourself to follow you, to walk after you. Holy Spirit, I pray for us here as a church, Lord, that we would recognize that there's an opportunity in this crossing, in the crossing church, that is far greater than we could ever imagine. That this is a place where we can get involved, that we can volunteer, that we can connect with people and build relationships and get into the life groups and serve on the coffee table or serve with the children's ministry, whatever it is. There's opportunities here that are going to change the eternity of thousands and thousands of people. I pray that we would give our lives, we'd sell everything, Lord God. Jesus looked at a rich young ruler and said to him, come follow me. Sell everything you have and follow me. And he said, I can't do it. And he walked away depressed. But there was a Paul who was riding on his donkey towards Damascus, and he was wanting to kill Christians, and he thought he was doing the right thing for God. And Jesus showed up and showed him his glory, and he fell down on the ground. And from that day, he realized this, that all his good stuff and his whole CV of everything great that he could accomplish was rubbish in comparison to knowing Jesus. I pray, God, for us as a church, change us, Lord. Show us the treasure, Lord. Give us a desire for that which is truly lasting and true and truly glorious. And help us to forsake all other stuff. Cause us to live for the sake of the lost, for the sake of the treasure in the nations, for the sake of the treasure in Johannesburg that's driving in the cars to its busy work and driving back home to its broken families. The treasure that's all around us, oh God, that needs Jesus. The field that you've given us in Joburg is full of gold. It's a city of gold. But not the kind that comes out of the ground, but the kind that's in the hearts of men and women. I pray, God, we'd give our lives for that, Lord. Like you did, Jesus. Something far greater than yourself. You lived only 33 years for us. May we live whatever number of years you give us for you and for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and touch people. You would fill people. You would heal people. You would set people free, God. Be free of all addiction in Jesus' name. Be free of sickness. You will be healed. God does heal. He heals today. If you're in this place and you say, I want Jesus as my treasure. If you've never acknowledged Him before and you say, I want to do that today. Maybe you have before, but you're thinking, I've lost it. Today, would you just acknowledge Jesus as your treasure again? Or would you acknowledge Jesus for the first time? Say, I want Jesus as my treasure. Is there somebody here? If you can just raise your hand or show me. Just indicate. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? God sees you as treasure, folk. He doesn't want you to stay in what you've been stuck in. He wants to set you free today. Is there anybody? It's great.
Just
stay in a sense of God's presence just for a little bit. I really sense there's an anointing here this morning, a commissioning anointing that is going to come upon those that say, Lord, I desire, I've seen you as the pearl of great. I have uncovered a treasure in my life. I have received so much, but it's not just for me, it's for others. And the same anointing that came upon Jesus to preach the gospel, to uncover treasure in our lives, I believe the Holy Spirit wants to pour that upon people this morning. If there's a desire in your heart and you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a treasure seeker. There's an anointing for that. Jesus said to his 12 disciples, he says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until an anointing, until the power, until the promise of my Father comes upon you. Because when that anointing comes upon you, you are going to be my witnesses. And you are going to go out into many fields. You're going to go out into the field of Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the ends of the earth. Why? So that you can go and uncover treasure that's in this fallen, rotten, dusty world. And an anointing is going to come upon you so that you're going to be able to draw this treasure out of the ground, shine it up again. I sense that anointing, that commissioning here this morning. And I just want, I want us not to miss this time where we say, Lord, that's me. I want that anointing to come upon me. We don't want to labor this point, but if that is you, I would like you to come forward. We're going to end this meeting just now, but I would like you to come forward. If you want the anointing to be a treasure seeker, those that go out into the ends of the earth, it's going to cost you something. Don't do this. Don't do this without counting the cost. There's going to be a cost. But I tell you, when you uncover that treasure, there's a joy beyond words. There's a joy beyond anything. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray for these folk.
I also sense there's some guys as well. There's a number of guys. And God's actually called you to lead life groups, to share your faith with people, to step out and to serve. And I want to just encourage some of you guys to come out as well and to do this for the sake of the treasure. Everything that's in your life is nothing compared to the treasure of Jesus. And we're going to wait. If you feel like you're one of those guys, I honestly feel there's even calling. There's people that have been called to ministry. There's people that have been called to greater things in God. If you feel that's you, then why don't you step out and we'll pray for you. We want to pray for all these people here tonight. Fuck, it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Father, thank you for Tony and Sandy, Jesus. I thank you for the calling that you have over their lives, oh God. I thank you, Father God, for the amazing treasure that you've set up for them, Lord. The amazing reward and inheritance that is far superior to anything that is on this earth. Having been faithful with earthly wealth, God says, I will entrust you with the wealth of heaven. Having been faithful with the things of this earth, God says, I'm going to entrust to you the things of heaven. And everything that you use, and everything that you have, and everything that you do, together as a team, together as an incredible, incredible team, with stories and testimonies of God's faithfulness in your own lives, God is going to use you to bring hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, which is His treasure, into the kingdom of heaven. God is looking for crowns. God is looking for jewels. God is looking for diamonds. God is looking for gold and silver. And that treasure, those gold, silver, crowns, precious jewels, those are the people of the world that are yet to be saved and that are yet to be reached. And I pray that God would give you such an incredible footprint, Tony and Sandy, such an incredible footprint to influence thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people for His kingdom. For His kingdom, Lord God. Let the joy of salvation come, Lord. Beautiful God. Wonderful, Lord God. Lord, for all these beautiful people standing out front, why don't you just raise your hands just to... Holy Spirit, I pray that you would touch every single one of them right here, right now, Lord.
I just thank you, Father God, that you would show them what is true treasure in Jesus' name. No longer will you run after the things of money and gold and silver of the earth, but you will know that your life and everything that you have in your life and everything that you don't even have in your life is actually there for the sake of reaching the lost. Reaching those treasures that God wants to see in His kingdom. Grand Lalita, you have got an incredible anointing upon your lives. To see churches strengthened, to see community gathered. You guys have got an ease with which you encourage and bless whole communities. I see the days where God's going to use you effortlessly, without lack, to strengthen communities. Because Jesus loves the field, which is His church. And as you see the treasure, and you yourselves are a treasure, God would use you to bring unity where there's been brokenness. To bring maturity where there's been childishness. To bring leadership. To bring strength. To bring wisdom. Wisdom is like rubies. The Lord says, though you search after everything, search for wisdom. Wisdom is like gold. I pray that you would anoint this couple with a multiplying of all the wisdom that is within them. Use them to bring wisdom to marriages, to children. Use them to bring wisdom in business. I pray for the wisdom of Solomon. I pray for the wisdom of Christ, which is far greater than Solomon's, to be upon them. You have the mind of Christ, says the Lord. Holy Spirit, thank you for your anointing upon them, Jesus. Use them, Lord. Let your anointing pour upon them, top of their heads, down to the soles of their feet. Like that oil that drips down Aaron's beard, down upon his robes, all the way to the floor. Anoint them, Lord. Anoint them. Anoint them afresh. Anoint them with joy, Lord. With your great joy, God. Wonderful, Lord. Wonderful, Jesus. Wonderful, God. Wonderful, God. Antonio, the Lord says, I've never ever taken my eye off you. You're the apple of my eye. You're a jewel, and I'm going to set you in a crown. In fact, I've seen you in the crown from the day I saved you. You've been very precious to me. You're very precious to me. Many people have not seen the jewelry. Many people have not seen the treasure. But I've seen the treasure, and I'm going to start to uncover it over your life. And even when you've worked with jewelry and you've sold jewelry, may God show you once again just the beauty that He sees in you. Shine forth again, Antonia. Don't give up. Shine forth again. Let no troubles and things tarnish your life. May God use you mightily. He sees you as His treasure. Many more people will start to see you for the beauty that's in you. Many more people will start to see the glory that's within you. We have this treasure in jars of clay, says the scripture. Many people are looking at the jar. The Lord within is the treasure. I thank you for the treasure, Lord Jesus, to make its way out in a powerful way in Antonia's life. Anoint her, Holy God. Holy Spirit, let your fire come upon her in brightness. In your name, Jesus. In your beautiful name, Lord God. Wonderful God. Oh God. For many of us here, it's just going to mean giving up and selling everything you have for the sake of that treasure, for the sake of the field. God wants to give you great things, but sometimes it's going to come as you release some things. To every person here, let go of what's not treasure to take a hold of what's treasure. That woman with the issue of blood for 14 years, she battled in her body. And when she saw Jesus, she just crawled on her knees through the crowd just to take a hold of His cloak. And when she gripped the cloak, it says her sickness had left her body. Lord, I thank you today. That's the same for us, that we would get on our hands and knees and get a hold of your cloak, O Jesus. And there's nothing else we want in all the earth but to have you, Jesus. Let go and take a hold of that for which Christ has taken a hold of for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Wonderful, Father. Beautiful. Not to break the work that the Spirit is doing, but we do have a couple of announcements. If I could just quickly run through that. If any